This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into Live Bet Saturday as we begin the third and final hour of the program. I'm Grace Harmington with Will Hill. Thanks for tuning in to VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Couple updates for you from the U.S. Open. There are four players carding scores under par for the tournament. It is J.J. Spahn and Sam Burns still tied in first at 3 under. Burns is the plus 200 favorite to win right now. Spahn is 3-1. Then it is Carlos Ortiz, who skyrocketed 9 spots up the leaderboard today with 4 birdies, no bogeys, a 4 under score for the day. He is tied for third with Victor Hovland, who is even for the day. Both of those gentlemen are 1 under for the tournament. Hov is 5-1. Carlos Ortiz is plus 750. And then you get to the next tier of odds. It's Adam Scott and Ben Griffin at 14-1, Tyrell Hatton at 22-1, and Scottie Scheffler at 30-1. So right now, I think we're just hanging tight on our Hovland tickets, Will, because I had a few others, but they're a little bit far back on the leaderboard now.
I feel moderately optimistic, cautiously optimistic here. Plus 450, good shape. It's going to come down to the wire, but that's all you can ask for when you get one of these long shot tickets to be in the mix here. And hopefully the golf gods, the betting gods smile upon me. So should be fun. It's an interesting leaderboard here heading into, as we wrap up round three. Let's see. Is there anything you'd bet right now? Is anything worth a bet? As Burns is now 2-1. This is the shortest I've seen him. Spahn at plus 280. I feel like Spahn is being overlooked a little bit. And then, like you said, Ortiz plus 750. Scott 14-1. Scheffler 30-1. I think we can pretty much give up on him being the outright champion here at this point. Mm-hmm. If I gave you, again, a hypothetical $300, who are you putting it on?
I think I'm still – hold up. Let me go see where – Tyrell Hatton is at the moment. He's tied for 8.
25-1.
He's 2 over for the tournament. What has he shot today? 4 birdies, a bogey, and a double. I liked him pre-tournament. I think he's gained strokes everywhere except for putting today, but he's only lost half a stroke putting. So I think I would lean on a bounce back from him. At 25-1, he's really the only person who's attractive to me at this point. But this will be a crazy... The last few golf tournaments have honestly been so difficult to handicap. It's been a strange season. But when it's one of these things where it just doesn't really go how you planned, all you can root for is just chaos and entertainment, and that's what we're getting.
Right.
So I think it would be fun. Let's throw like some rain in there. Let's get some mud balls on the course, make it even more difficult. Let's have Rory throwing even more golf clubs everywhere and smashing things. That's what I'm rooting for in the final round.
Are you anti-Rory? As someone who, you had a lot of experience interviewing these athletes, does it bother you when he pulls these stunts and doesn't want to talk to the media, or is it something that you understand?
I get it. I mean, I think about this a lot, actually. I think it's weird how people get all up in arms because, like, he can do what he wants. And I think, like, each athlete can decide what they want their legacy to be. If you want to be the inspirational guy who, like, sends a message or leaves a path for the next generation or makes people feel happy and uplifted, like, that's your decision. If Rory doesn't want to be that, that's fine. Like, if he just wants to earn money to support his family, that's fine. Like, it is part of your job to talk to the media, but every time, like, I get it. Like, they're only human. If it were in the rule books, like, yes, you have to talk to them after every single round, every single tournament, and they're, going against the rules and making everyone's jobs more difficult, then sure, that's one thing. But it's, like, people are still getting their info, at least it seems. So I don't know. I think the club smashing is a different thing. Like, that's not really classy behavior. I stand by what I said before. That final round of the Masters, whether he blew it to Justin Rose or whether he won, just walk it off after that. Should have been his final round of his career. Just walk off into the sunset after that. Something's going on. It's weird. Let's go back to baseball, though. Check on some of these scores. Top of the seventh in Baltimore. Orioles leading the Angels 6-4. The sixth inning just ended in Philly. The Blue Jays and Phillies still tied up at 2 apiece. The White Sox leading the Rangers in the top of the seventh, 2-1. No man on, 2 outs there. Ah, we're getting close in the Rays Mets here. 5 total runs scored. We're in the top of the fourth.
Yeah, you're in some trouble.
The seventh run is on base. In my defense, I bet it before the weather delay. Maybe it is on me to not check the radar, but had I known it would have been delayed, I wouldn't have bet it. Twin Stros in the top of the eighth. We're pacing for an under here as well. It's tied at 2 each. With the Twins have a man on first, 1 out. And then in Kansas City, top of the eighth, the A's leading the Royals 4-0 with no outs, no man on. In Milwaukee, the Cardinals leading the Brewers 7-4 in the bottom of the fifth. A man on first, 2 outs. And the Braves leading the Rockies 4-0 in the bottom of the seventh. We only got to hit one of those night games in the last block. So let's go back to the other evening games here in baseball. One we haven't gotten to hit yet is this little California rivalry between the Giants and the Dodgers. The Dodgers -175, big favorite here on the money line. Giants +158 with a total of 9, 9.5, depending on where you look. Anything you like in this game?
The first place Giants, I believe, right? That's been a surprising development. It's hard to know what you're getting with Kershaw. He's obviously not the pitcher he used to be. He's not going to give you the length in these outings. I'm not a fan of Rupp. I think the Giants are not even overrated because I don't think people give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't think they're as good as the record, I guess would be a way to put it. Rupp's outs are at 15.5. Is he really going to get to 5 innings and then another out in the sixth against this Dodger lineup on the road? I don't think so. I'd probably look at the under Rupp outs. I can't quite lay it with the Dodgers. I don't really want to lay the 1.5. If anything, I would just play the outs under for Rupp. But the Dodgers, I don't want to say they have issues because they're going to be in the playoffs. They're fine. But they just at some point, you need some pitching. Glasnow and when Yamamoto gets roughed up, like he did last night, a couple starts ago against the Yankees, there's not a lot of places to go to for outs, for arms. It's a lot of just piecing it together with, Robleski and Landon Knack. And it's every day they pitch a guy basically you've never heard of, or Kershaw, who's at the end of the rope here in terms of his career. Gonsolin's hurt. They're relying a lot on Dustin May, but Gonsolin's hurt. Glasnow, Sasaki was bad. Now he's hurt. There's just Blake Snell, Cy Young winner from a couple years ago. Signed him hoping for big things. They just don't have a lot of arms. So if anything, I'd play Rupp under outs. Is this a game you have any interest in? What do you think we're getting out of Kershaw, Rupp here? Side total props, what are you looking at?
I haven't bet this game. I don't feel great about Kershaw. The velo is down on his top two pitches. The fastball down to 89 miles an hour. The slider's down to 85.8. Line that kind of stood out to me, though, is his outs line. The over 15.5 is +158, and he has not gone over that this season. But looking at the Dodgers' bullpen usage lately, they only used one reliever yesterday. That can't be right. If Yamamoto went 4 2/3, hold up. I got to go check that. But what I was going to say is they just played the Padres in a 3-game series and emptied out the bullpen against them. So maybe they're leaning on Kershaw to go deep here because they are getting kind of desperate. Oh yeah. No, they used one reliever for 4 1/3 yesterday. I was right. Okay. So I don't know. Maybe... San Francisco is a below average offense against lefties with a high strikeout rate. So it's possible he goes long. I was kind of surprised to see the over at +158.
Yeah. And you got to pay some juice now for the Rupp under 15.5 outs at $1.65, $1.70 at DraftKings. But that's the only way I'd look. I don't think he gets, You know, that 15.5 is a key number because he's got to get through five, then he's got to get it out in the sixth. Mm-hmm. Against this Dodger lineup, I'm not sure that's in the cards here for Rupp. So I'd lay the juice here with $1.70. If I had to play side total anything, I'd probably just take the plus money against Kershaw here. But again, I think this line is properly priced, I guess is how I would put it.
Yeah, I think so too. Looking at Landon Rupp too. So he's gone over six innings in four of his last five, but those came against the A's, the Nats. He did go 6 1/3 against the Padres, but went 6 against the Braves and gave up 3 earned runs on 5 hits, only 2 strikeouts, 2 walks. So, yeah, I mean, against the Dodgers, who are better than all those teams, I could see that under. I mean, it's juiced for a reason.
Right.
Yeah, this is, these games today, kind of interesting. Kind of a little bit tougher to find an angle on some of these, I think. All right, I know we're talking baseball, but if you want to bet smarter this football season, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a full year for just $199, plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now and get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from VSiN hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, and 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app. Plus, our 2025 NFL betting guide dropping July 1st. Sign up at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back into Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the sports betting network. He's Will Hill. I'm Grace Remington. Let's talk some NBA finals. It was looking scary for a moment there last night for OKC, but they come back in the fourth quarter, tie it up, and somehow cover the 6-point spread. So now we have a game 5 on Monday where the Thunder are back home. They are a 9.5-point favorite. We'll get your thoughts on that game 5, Will, but first want to get your reaction to last night.
Awesome game, physical game. Defense was really good. Defense was really tough. And we've seen this situation with the Thunder before. They were down 2-1 in Denver for game 4, and they were down 8 in the fourth quarter. Same situation where if you lose that, you're down 3-1, and I don't care how good you are. You could talk home court in 5-7. You're really up against it if you lose that game. They rallied. They won. And same thing last night. I think they were down 85-75. They crawled back in it, and they're down 4, like 3 minutes to go. SGA hits a 3. They get a stop. He hits a 2. All of a sudden, they have a lead. They're able to pull away and miraculously, and I mean miraculously, cover that spread. Just a brutal, brutal beat if you had Indiana like I did. Just a really tough one where they were not just covering most of the game. They were winning most of the game outright. I think 90% of the game, they had the lead, and you're getting 6 points, 6.5 on top of it. That's a tough one to not cover, but gut check time for OKC. They responded. I think they really took control of the series. I'm very cautious about underrating and underestimating Indiana with everything they've done and all the comfort behind wins. But it just feels like when you're the underdog and you have a golden opportunity to land the knockout punch and you don't do it, and you let the other team get off the mat, boy, that spells trouble. I think OKC, who did not play well on offense for a lot of game 4, only 3 of 17 from 3, only 10 assists, 11 assists. Their assist numbers were horrible, but they got to the free throw line. They made their free throws. SGA made clutch shots when he needed to. I think SGA had 15 in the fourth quarter, and the Pacers as a team had 17 in the fourth quarter, to show you how dominant that fourth quarter was from SGA. So I think this is tough from Indy going forward. I'm not sure they get another game. I think OKC wins it either in 6 or 7. I mean, those are the only two options to win it going forward here. But I would lay the 9.5. I like OKC in game number 5. I just think this is that's going to be a fourth quarter Indiana laments for a long, long time if they don't win the championship. So OKC is the better team. It's looked a lot closer than I thought at times. But now that it's 2-2 with two out of the three in OKC, I think it's going to be really, really difficult for Indiana to bounce back from what happened in that fourth quarter at the end of game four. 1 point in the final 3 minutes, I think 5 seconds. So the offense, which has just been incredible in clutch situations for the Pacers, went ice cold when they really needed it.
Yeah. Tough moment for Tyrese Haliburton at the end there, too. He's been Mr. Clutch for the entire postseason, but airballs that three-pointer with just under 2 minutes left. OKC regains home advantage now. They are the minus 450 favorite to win this series. So you think OKC will win it. I'm trying to pull up the exact – I just had the correct score, the game – or exact outcome. Is that what it is? Nope.
It's hard when you get this late because it's basically just the money lines.
Right. So it says Thunder to win 4-2 is plus 105. Thunder to win in 7 plus 180. Would you be interested in either of those?
What are they again? You said plus 270 or plus 280?
So, no, worse than that. Thunder in 6 games is plus 105. Thunder in 7 games is plus 180. Are we just betting it game by game at this point?
Yeah, you're probably just better off betting it game by game. I do think they win it in 6, but is plus 105 enough? Probably not. Probably not, but I do think they win it in 6.
Yeah. Oh, I just found a fun little prop market here. A buzzer beater. Yes, at 30-1.
Yeah, that's probably... I mean, it's a fun one to have. It's just... First of all, I don't think the games are going to be again. I don't want to disrespect Indiana because they've been so pesky, but with a line at 9.5, and then even when you get to Indy, the line's going to be 5 or 6. No, I don't. 30-1. I mean, look, if you throw a pizza bet on it, a fun bet, I get it. 30-1, just something to root for, but probably not true odds, especially when you only have at most 3 games left.
Yeah, that's fair. Looking at the betting splits from Circa over at VSiN.com, 67% of the bets are on the Pacers, yet 70% of the handle is on the Thunder minus 9.5 in game 5. So that tells you where the market is leaning there. Looks like all the money taken so far is on the over 224. Has anything surprised you about the total so far in this series?
No, last night I was doing the show live with Matt Eumanns, and the total in the first quarter went from 227.5 before the game all the way up to like 241. Neither team could miss, and we both talked about it similar to how you and I do. We're like, man, maybe this is a good time to jump in on the under. These teams are due to miss. Maybe there's some regression coming. And of course, it stayed way under the 240. It stayed way under the 227. So I don't know. It's tough because OKC, they haven't looked comfortable on offense, and they're not only not making threes, they're not getting the attempts. It's a lot of living at the free throw line. They have to create turnovers. If anything, I'd play over, but I just, with their lack of a three-pointer, I mean, it's just in the year 2025, teams only taking 17 threes is basically unheard of. We see all the time 35, 40 plus three-point attempts. Only 17, it's hard to cover these enormous, enormous overs when you're only shooting a limited number of threes. Plus, they're really good on defense. So a long-winded way of saying, no, I don't think I'm going to be playing the total.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, speaking of high-scoring games, we've gotten a lot of them in the Stanley Cup Final between the Florida Panthers and Edmonton Oilers. The 7 of the last 9 meetings between these two teams had 7 or more goals. 6.5, always kind of a high total for hockey during the regular season, but it is a regular occurrence for these two teams in the playoffs. They've scored 32 combined goals in the first 4 games of the Stanley Cup Final, which is the 4th most in Stanley Cup Final history. And the scoring comes from all directions. In the previous game 4, the Oilers' first 4 goals in regulation came from players who hadn't yet scored in the Stanley Cup Final. So now we have both teams where 10 players from each side have scored. So that's why I love looking at the props from Jonathan Davis over at VSiN.com. There's some days he gives out 15 props. It's so good how he breaks down these games. Tonight he's got 7. And some of my favorite ones here, because considering, you know, the scoring prowess of both of these teams, I like looking for these points or anytime goal scorers. One he has is Brad Marchand over half a point at plus 104. Marchand's 14 road points are second on the team. He has Sam Bennett to score an anytime goal at plus 210. He hit the crossbar in overtime, so almost gave the Panthers a commanding lead there. Corey Perry over 1.5 shots on goal at minus 110. He's had two or more shots on goal in 6 games, but he's got quite a few other plays here. I won't give all of them away. You can find them all over at VSiN.com. He has his hockey write-ups every day that there is a game, but should be a fun one. I don't know if it's the square thing to do, Will, but I kind of just want to bet the over in these games.
Yeah, just because it's square doesn't mean it's right. I don't know how you watch these 4 games so far and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna bet the under, and I'm going to lay $1.10 to do so. I agree with the over. And look, not that I'm a hockey expert, but I've watched pretty much every minute of this series and a lot of the playoffs. I get a feeling the Oilers win. I think home ice actually holds up the next 2, even the next 3 games. I think we're getting a game 7. I think Edmonton wins tonight. I think Florida wins in game 6. And then I picked Edmonton in 7 before the series. I don't see any reason to jump off it, but I do think the Oilers win. And then the Panthers respond. And I think a Friday night would be a game 7. So Friday night, a game 7 NHL Stanley Cup final. It's a weird night to have a game 7, but I think we're headed there. These teams look pretty even. I think we'll get a split over the next 2, and would be a lot of fun here to get for the second year in a row, these 2 teams playing a dramatic and a decisive game 7.
Yeah, you're right. That would be on Friday night. And like our buddy Ryan said earlier in the show, if you're not a hockey fan, this series will turn you into one. And if you're into futures wagering, fantasy, or just like the thrill of calling your shot, you need to check out xcuta.com. That's X-C-U-T-T-A. And it's basically the future of how we play. Think of it like combining a live auction with the strategy of sports betting. You choose who you want to bid on, players, teams, golfers, even horse racing, over 1,000 athletes and teams to choose from across every major sport. You set the terms, build your own auction, and invite your friends to play. You can even start auctions for free. It's like creating your own mini sports book with your crew, and it's addictively fun. So here's the hookup. Email support at xcuta.com, mention VSiN, and they will send you a special 3-month player promo code to get started. Again, that's xcuta.com, X-C-U-T-T-A. Futures wagering just got a serious upgrade. Coming up next, the College Baseball World Series continues tonight with one of the biggest games of the entire tournament, LSU and Arkansas. We'll talk about it and more baseball next. Welcome back into Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the sports betting network. The College World Series is in action in Omaha. Hopefully you've been watching the programming from VSiN and Circa out of Omaha. It looks like they've been having a blast out there. We do have a final result from today. UCLA beats the Cinderella team, Murray State, 6-4. Murray State made it kind of close at the end, but not quite enough for a comeback. But it is a double elimination bracket, so they will have a chance again on Monday, it would be, against the loser of Arkansas or LSU. But tonight's game is the one that everyone has been waiting for, Will, because you have the 2 World Series favorites going head-to-head in the first game of the whole thing. LSU is a slight underdog. Arkansas is minus 125 with a total of 9 here. So do you have any plays for this one?
I like the under. Possible number 1 pick in the draft, I believe, for LSU. The pitcher going is outstanding. Arkansas, look, when you're talking about 2 SEC powerhouses, yeah, you're going to have good lineups, but you're going to have 2 elite starting pitchers when you're talking about 2 of the best teams, if not 2 best teams in the country. So runs going to be hard to come by. Big ballpark, hard to score runs in that ballpark, big dimensions, and rested bullpens. These teams haven't played in a week or so you're going to have all hands on deck. These teams are going to treat this like a not quite a game 7, because you do have another game to play with it in double elimination format, but nobody wants to get in the gauntlet of a loser's bracket. If you're able to get to the winner's bracket, that's a huge step forward. So I think we're looking at an under. I think this will be a well-pitched game, 3-2, 4-3 type of game, so I like the under. Will you be watching? And more importantly, how many jello shots could you handle? What would be your limit? What could you get to?
I'm such a wimp. I would not be contributing a lot to the jello shots board. Do we have a graphic of the jello shots board update, producer Rick? You know what? I got to say, I'm a little disappointed in the fans this year because I feel like after day one of the tournament last year, like records were being broken for jello shots. Oh, here's the graphic. All right, let's see it. So LSU is in the top spot. No surprise there. But they're beating the next team on the board by twice as many jello shots. So, do you see this? Oh, you don't think this is recent?
I don't know if that's the most recent one because Rick sent us this one.
Oh, let's go look.
Where it's updated, where the leader is LSU with 8,808. Murray State's at 4,200. What do we got? Arkansas has 4,100. So that one, I think, is that might have been like after lunch on the first day. So they're catching up. They're making up for lost time. Especially with the weekend. Weekend, people are off. Yeah.
Okay, so today's the second day of it. Yeah, I'm saying I feel like we got to 10,000 by day two last year. You need more SEC fans there. Rocco's going to pull some strings. They're going to get more SEC fans into the tournament next year.
I think last year I heard this on one of the shows, and Vison's been doing a great job with the coverage and everything on site there, that you were able to buy shots without being there. So if you're an LSU alum or an LSU donor, I want LSU to win, so I'm just going to buy 100 shots and here's the money and just do whatever you want with them, that kind of thing, where now you have to be in person to buy them. So that's keeping the numbers down. But that's obviously still an outrageous, outrageous amount of shots. I know Mitch Moss, Paul Howard, Stormy, JVT. I'm sure Stormy's probably had a good 40 or 50 of those jello shots. She went to a state school. I know she was upset because we had the hypothetical odds of all the VEASAN people, and she was like 8-1, 9-1. She felt like she was being slept on. I don't know. I don't know that she could actually win the challenge just with, you're going against just bigger people, like men that are heavier, and just that there's a,
that's not a challenge I want to win.
I feel like exactly. It's like a golf tournament. She could be like a first round leader, but I don't know if she could actually win the outright. She could start strong, but maintaining, I saw one of the guys on Follow the Money today that works at Circa. I forget his name, said he had 29 on the first night. 29's a lot. 29's a lot of shots. Ew. Of Yes.
How are you even walking? Oh my gosh. That's okay. I have so many questions that I feel like I'm not allowed to ask on air. So, congrats to the LSU fans. That's all I will say there. Although I do want to bring up an actual betting play here. And I have confirmed I did get this strategy from Matt Grissom, who helped put our College World Series betting guide together with his team at College Baseball Insiders. They're so good at what they do. So sign up for Visa.com, download that betting guide if you haven't already. His strategy going into the tournament was to pick a winner in each bracket. So his recommendations were Arizona and Oregon State. He felt like those had the most value. Right now, because Arizona hasn't played yet, they play Louisville tomorrow. You can get Arizona, hold up, at 65-1 to win the tournament. And then his strategy for the other side was whichever team loses in this Arkansas-LSU game, bet the loser, especially if it's Arkansas, because they have the pitching depth to fight back. So that's what I will be keeping an eye on tonight. But I like your under angle as well. You obviously have two elite starters here. Cade Anderson is throwing for LSU in his first matchup against the Razorbacks in May. He allowed 3 earned runs on 7 hits, but 10 strikeouts. Actually, in that first head-to-head matchup, both pitchers went 7 innings. It was a close game. Arkansas led when both starters left the game 3-2, and it went to extras. So that game was a classic. This one could be as well. But the Razorback starter, Zach Root, has been dialed in during this postseason. He threw 6 shutout innings against Creighton and then went 7 innings against Tennessee with the only mistake, 1 home run. So he's coming in with a bit more momentum here. Arkansas has great bullpen depth as well. They rank 4th in ERA, 2nd in Sierra. So yeah, I'm looking forward to a good game here. And whoever the loser is, that will be my pick out of bracket number two. But just want to read the odds off to these Sunday games for those who haven't had a chance to look at them yet. Arizona, a minus 120 favorite against Louisville, although this one's close. Louisville, minus 110 with a total of 10 here, juiced to the under at minus 120. Coastal Carolina playing Oregon State. Coastal is the minus 140 favorite. Oregon State is plus 110. A total of 9, juiced to the over at minus 120. So Oregon State has won a game. So has Coastal. I guess if Oregon State loses this one, now that would be the time to bet them as well, according to Matt Grissom, because he thinks they have enough depth to claw their way back as well. All right, let's check in on golf. We haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, looks I was just like gonna say Burns guys. plus 150 yeah. Now. We've got some movement.
Wow. Four guys under par now. So well, it's look at Adam Scott making a move. I believe his last major win, was it 2013? Has it been that long? He has two birdies on the day, one bogey. So we got JJ Spahn and Sam Burns tied atop at three under. Adam Scott and Victor Hovland tied for third at one under, two strokes back of the lead. Then it's Carlos Ortiz and Tristan Lawrence tied for fifth at even. So this is going to shape up for an interesting tournament. Oh, and look at Carlos Ortiz looking at his scorecard now. He was the only one bogey free for the day. He ends his round with a bogey on hole 18. But a three under score for a 67. Really great at this course. Anything you'd be looking to bet here, Will?
I see my boy Hovland's down to 6-1. I don't like that. But no, I think Spahn to me has the best value. He's the one we're kind of sleeping on. Burns has been the favorite for most of this. Spahn has been neck and neck with him, but Spahn's just been solid as a rock and still get, you know, plus 360 on him, I think is decent value. How about you? Anything? I know you were looking at Hatton earlier. What, again, same exercise. If you had to bet one guy right now, who do you think is the best bet?
I'm still looking for a finishing position bet. Now we can get, gosh, this is tough. Scotty is now 2-1 to finish top five. He is tied for third. So right now the two guys tied for fifth are at even. Scotty is 4 over. He's one of the best bounce back guys on tour. He did it a couple times today. Do we think he can gain four? Gosh, there's just so many opportunities to bogey on this course. I don't know. This is really hard.
Yeah, Scheffler's at 35-1. Griffin 30-1. It's gonna be fun.
I mean, that point about JJ Spahn though, now at plus 320. I mean, that could be a solid bet there. He's gained strokes in almost every category every day of this tournament. So he's been consistent. And on a course like this, consistency is the key. All right, coming up next, we're going to send you off with our best bets. This is Live Bet Saturday. Welcome back into Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Grace Remington with Will Hill. It has been a delightful 3 hours, and now it's time to send you off with our best bets for the evening. Our best bets are brought to you by GBank, which is now introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. Then First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st, which is a $200 value. So that's the $500 trifecta. trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. All right, William, what do you have for your best bet tonight?
William, wow. I don't think you've ever called me William before. I'll go two. I'll go Oilers. I just think that momentum can be an overrated thing, and it just, we kind of play the results with it, but it just, this is felt destined for seven the entire time. Granted, when Florida was up 2-1 and up 3-0 in game four, maybe started to rethink that. But the fact that the Oilers came back, won that 2-2, I think these teams split the next two games, probably each win at home, and then we're headed for probably a great game seven. So I'll go Oilers money line. And I will go under 2.5 in the first three innings, Cleveland and Seattle on the diamond. You got to pay some juice, -$1.65. But Bibee against Kirby, I think it's a good pitching matchup. It's two offenses that are not ones that really strike fear into you. So to me, 1-0, 1-1 after three is a very possible likely outcome. Wouldn't even be surprised if it's scoreless. I think we'll get a good pitching matchup. Kirby bounced back last time, recovering from the injury, had 14 strikeouts. So his stuff is there. And Bibee is a solid pitcher too. So under 2.5 in the first three. Those are the two plays for me. And I'll add OKC -9.5 on game five here. I just think, you know, similar to the Oilers-Panthers, the way that game ended, it just feels like the Pacers left one on the table. The OKC is better to begin with. They're home. I don't know that Indy recovers from that. I think that OKC wins the game and wins it pretty comfortably here on Monday night. I'm so used to these games on Sunday. The game last week was on a Sunday. Usually on a Sunday you get a game, but we're going to have no NHL, no NBA on a Sunday. So a little gap here, a little break with both these series on Sunday. But OKC -9.5, so three plays for me.
That's when they need to schedule the UFL final on Sunday.
Yeah,
when there's nothing else going. Who is watching that today or ever?
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah, US Open though. You got US Open to compete with.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. Yeah, we want all the US Open chaos tomorrow. Okay. I like that Guardians Mariners under. I was leaning toward the under seven, but you talked me into shortening that. Let's isolate the starting pitchers here. Tanner Bibby, we've actually seen his numbers come down. He started the season with a 4.20 ERA. It's in the 3.80s now, a 3.78 expected. But what I like about him is his fastball wasn't grading well, and we've seen him make adjustments. He changed up his pitch mix. He's kind of backed off the changeup and curveball. He's now throwing a slider and cutter more, and those great as above average pitches. George Kirby, his actual numbers are not good. He got a late start to the season, but he should be due some positive regression. The 6.53 current ERA, he has a 4.04 FIP and a 2.86 expected FIP, which are more in line with his career numbers. He has a career 3.55 ERA, a 3.25 FIP. So I think it should start to normalize that direction. And his last start out against the Angels was a quality start with 14 strikeouts. So I think he's rounding into form. So yeah, I'll take that early under for Guardians Mariners. Another play I like tonight, we talked about this earlier, the Yankees first five team total over 2.5 at even odds. Revenge spot here for the Yankees. I like Carlos Rodon. His expected metrics line up with his actual metrics. His 31% strikeout rate is the highest it's been since 2021. And what's been working for him is he has also made some adjustments to his pitch mix. The fastball was kind of getting hit a lot. Now he's taking the usage rate down from 60% some years. Now it's down to 40%, and he's relying on his changeup and sinker a bit more. The fastball is still a little bit risky. He's brought it down to a league average, 320 expected weighted on base average, but the rest of his arsenal grades out above average. So love seeing when pitchers are making adjustments in season, and then we're fading Hunter Dobbins, who is a rookie for Boston as well. But you liked an over in that game as well, right?
Yeah, I think you had a solid handicap on that. I like the fact that both these pitchers faced the lineups 5 days ago. I like that from a batting perspective, where you've seen the arm angle, you've seen the spin, the pitch selection, and plus hitter's ballpark, two good offenses. Dobbins is not a guy that's going to get a lot of swings and misses. A very strange stat line Sunday night. No walks, no strikeouts. I mean, man, you could go the rest of the baseball season and not have a pitcher that goes five innings and doesn't get either a strikeout or a walk. Just a very strange line. The ball was in play a lot, obviously, but over 8.5, I do like your over 2.5 team total in the first five. I think that really isolates it.
Awesome. We do have a couple more minutes here, so I think we can touch on these other two night games. Giants-Dodgers, the heavy favorite here. Clayton Kershaw against Landon Roop. Did you have anything you feel strongly about?
It's juice now, but under 18.5 outs for Roop, for Rupp here. I don't think that he sees much of the sixth inning. Good Dodgers lineup on the road. Step up in competition from the teams he's faced. So don't have any interest in the money line or the total. I'm curious what you think about this game. One game I keep staring at, I don't know how to play it. Padres Diamondbacks, Gallen has been so bad. For him to be laying $1.60, $1.65 in that range, to me, is just not justified. So whether it's a Padres team total over a first five where you're getting half a run, I got to figure out a way to fade Gallen. Maybe just play Gallen over earned runs allowed. I know the Padres offense has been up and down, to say the least, but I can't get to this price with Gallen. So I'm curious if you have anything on either of these games.
Okay, wow. I didn't see that the D-backs was up to -170 at this point.
It's a lot.
Gosh, yeah, I would. Ooh, I wish I could bet the Padres, but we have a 25-year-old rookie on the other side who's made only two starts. And here's the thing. This kid, Ryan Burgert, starting for the Padres, he has a 1.26 ERA. Okay, so two starts, six appearances. But he's due some major regression here. A 3.89 expected ERA, a 4.33 FIP with a 96% left on base rate. So he's gotten extremely lucky. Yeah, looks like he's had a tough time getting outs. Low strikeout rate, high walk rate. I don't know. Yeah, maybe a what were you saying? Maybe a fade. I don't know. Could you do
first
a D-backs?
Maybe taking half a run with the Padres, maybe Gallen over earned. There's so many different ways to attack this stuff, but it feels like that's an inflated price on the Padres. Laying $1.70 with how poor Gallen's been. Plus, their bullpen's a mess. Their bullpen's not good to begin with, and Martinez is hurt. They don't really have a lot of options in terms of their closer. I think Beeks is now their closer. Former Ray, I think the guy you're familiar with. I can't quite get there with Arizona. I think this price is inflated here.
No, you're right. The play would, if we're going on actual edges in price, you bet the Padres money line. They yes. should not be, it should be a little less than +145. I just personally can't, I don't trust them that much. But interesting thought nonetheless. Last minute update here before we head out on the US Open. Still the same four players under par. Sam Burns now in the solo lead at 4 under after he scores a birdie on the par 313. JJ Spahn at 3 under. Adam Scott at 2 under and Victor Hovland at 1 under. Kind of fun seeing Adam Scott up there. 3 birdies, 1 bogey on the day. His last win on the tour was 2020 at the Genesis Invitational. His last major win was the 2013 Masters. So, I mean, really likable guy. Cool to see the Aussie up there contending. But, of course, we both have Hovland tickets. So that's what we are rooting for tomorrow. All right. It's been a fun time hanging with you, Will. Coming up next on VSiN, we got 4 more hours of Live Bet Saturday. It'll be Mark Melissus and Tim Murray leading us from Circa. Then we finish off a Saturday night with Cashing Out, hosted by Greg Peterson. So stick with us all night here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. He's Will Hill. I'm Grace Remington. Good luck with all your bets tonight, and have a great Saturday.